in awe of his power. And if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, that's where we're headed this morning. How many of you like power? How many guys like power? I like power. My new truck has got 375 horsepower, 500 pounds of torque. Wow. And it's got a 5-mode transmission with 10 gears. Wow, I don't even know what that means, except when I put it in sport. There's a little box on the top of my dashboard. And when we bought the truck, I said to my son, "What's that for?" And he says, "That's for the tickets, Dad." Because it's really easy to go fast in this thing, and that's where the tickets go. But power is something. If it's in your control, or if it's being used to do something for you, there's so many things that have power. We plug in things and we turn on things and we buy things that have power. I remember when we were pastoring, we just started pastoring in Dawson City in the Yukon, and had a guy that was there for the summer. And we had to dig some fence post holes around our property. And that's easy to do here in Richmond because it's all sand, right? Up there, it's permafrost. So in other words, it's frozen concrete is what it is. And so we'd get down about this far through the dirt, and then it would just start like digging through an ice cube. So I borrowed this. It was actually a generator or starter off an airplane that they had adapted to be an auger. So this thing sat about this high off the ground, the electric motor sat about this long, and then there was this long stem down, and then there was an auger. But because it was kind of homemade, anybody make homemade stuff here? It's dangerous, I'll tell you. Anyways, we borrowed this homemade one because up in the Yukon, you don't have Home Depot. You don't have home and you don't have depot. You just have nothing. And so it's got four big bars on it. So you stand in between the two bars. You know, they come out like this, and there's a place to stand and you can hold on to them. Okay? So this guy that's working with me, Russ Brackenbury, him and I get in, and I said, "Now, Russ, this is the deal. Is we get ready, because there's lots of torque in this baby. It starts airplane engines, okay?" So get ready. So we're standing across from each other, and we're holding onto the posts, and then one of us, because there's no on-off switch, because it's homemade, right? There's alligator clips. You know what they are? They're hot, and when you put one on, and then you put the other one on, then the power starts right away. So here we are, out in the yard, and I said, "Are you ready?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm ready." So I clip it on, and it starts going, and then it hits the permafrost. And it stops the auger, but the top part still goes. And so so there we are, throwing across the yard. And it's in the hole still going like this, like bouncing all over. I had to crawl up like army style and pull that alligator clip off. Then we'd check each other over for injuries. And I'd say, "You ready, Russ?" And he'd go, "Yeah." So we'd get back in and we'd hold on to that. And say, "Now put it on," and it would happen all day long. Our ribs were bruised and everything, but we got down to the permafrost to put the fence posts in. That's power. It's stupid, but it's power. And guys with power are sometimes pretty stupid. Okay? But there was so much torque in that thing that there was no way that two men could hold it back once it hooked and it was twisting. And it would send you flying. We have inside of us more power than that in Jesus Christ. We have power. We sang about it. We have power inside of us to live in this world. And we need to. Verse 15, it says this: "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you when I remember you in my prayers." For this reason, Paul's saying to them in this letter, he's starting off and he's saying, this is all the things I heard about you. I'm so excited about your faith and your love for one another. I'm really excited. And Sarah, for this reason, I'm writing you, I'm encouraging you, for this reason. We need to, for this reason, one another sometimes. You know what? I'm excited about how you walk in Christ. I'm excited about how you minister. I'm excited about the anointing that's on you. I'm excited about you being a new creation in Christ. I'm excited about that. And for this reason, I want to encourage you. For this reason, I want to walk alongside you. For this reason, I want to bless you in your ministry. For this reason. That's what Paul is saying to the Ephesian church. For this reason. The reason is their love for Jesus Christ and their faith in him. If you know that you're loved by Jesus Christ, you can do anything because you know you have the power inside. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me, right? Is that true? Or is that just kind of a really good warm feeling thing to say? It's true. It's absolutely true because it's in the gospel, or it's in the Bible, and the Bible is the truth. Because it comes from Christ. It comes from the Spirit, and the Spirit of truth, and Jesus is the truth. And so we need to understand that, and sometimes we just kind of assume this. But we need to more than assume it. We need to live it. I pray that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in your growing knowledge of him. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Spirit of wisdom. It's not intelligence. It's the Spirit of wisdom. Comes to you. You know things that you probably shouldn't know. There's no possible way that you could have made that connection and made those things. But the Holy Spirit just came and gave you that wisdom and revelation. Isn't it beautiful when he speaks to you and shows you the things inside, the spiritual things that are happening, and then God just reveals that to you. This is a one-on-one. This is a precious thing for us. It's just not joining a denomination. It's just not coming to church every Sunday. This is something that we can do every day. We can believe that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation are given to us. And Paul's saying, Ephesian church, this is what I'm praying. That God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in your growing knowledge of him. Isn't that beautiful? It's like, come on, this is exciting stuff. Paul is praying. You know what? Jesus is praying for us now because he's our intercessor. He's praying that we will understand this, that we will receive this gift and start walking in it. Your life changes totally when you trust God with everything. Everything. Bad traffic in Richmond. Everything. Big lineups. I had such a rotten day. You ever have a rotten day? Get up in the morning and things go bad. And then those things go bad, and then other things go bad, and you don't want to try nothing new because it's going to go bad. And sure enough, I wasn't disappointed. It went bad. And I was thinking, like, why could all of this happen at once? And it's just little things, irritant things. But once you get 6 or 7 irritant things, the 8th and 9th are really bad, even though they're not that big. Right? Jesus wants us to walk in this understanding that he is in control of everything. And then we can walk through that day peacefully. And so you're thinking, well, obviously, Pastor, you didn't pray enough. Because if I did, and what I'm talking about right now, then I would say, and you know what? Oh, the water's calmed and everything was fine. Everything wasn't fine. I didn't even have a good night's sleep. It was just like I don't know whether it's the attack of the enemy or the stuff I ate. I did eat some things that maybe I shouldn't have. I enjoyed them, but they didn't enjoy me. And so what it is God is saying, if you will understand that I'm giving you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will be able to walk through this life in a different way. And then he says, since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened so that you can call, or you can know what is the hope of your calling. The eyes of your heart have been enlightened. Not these eyes, but this one. Where you process things spiritually. You know that gut feeling you have? You know that intuition you feel? You know that's where this comes from. It's your heart. And Paul's saying to the Ephesian church, he's saying, since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened, Paul is a good example of that. When he said, look, I was on that road to Damascus and it knocked me off my horse. And then I went blind and there were scales on my eyes and then they fell off. Before we're Christians, there's scales on our eyes and we don't see very well. We just don't see very well. But when we become born again, that's removed. And I can see clearly now. I can see clearly. And you know, it's not my eyesight. I still wear glasses. It's not that. My heart sees clearly. And we need to live from our hearts. Jesus lived from his heart when he was here. He saw things, but he saw them and filtered them through his heart, and he ministered. He laid hands on everyone and then recovered. He went and ministered to the widows. He raised the dead. We sang about that. He raised the dead. That's pretty powerful, don't you think? He raised the dead. I just think it's awesome. He is all the power in creation. Verse 18 says, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance to the saints? That's the future. What we talked about in that previous point was that's our calling. We have a calling, and that's our past. That's what he did when we came. Actually, their calling was there before we became Christians. Did you know that? He called me to be a pastor before I was even saved. Well, you think maybe that's a little spooky. No, he's got a plan for your life. I wasn't really into the plan. I didn't want the plan. Even when it was offered to me, I don't want the plan. I had my own plans. Thank you very much. I'll do all the stuff Christians do, but leave me alone. I like my plan. His plan was I'd be a pastor, and my plan was I'd be a paramedic. And then I could do lots of good stuff as a paramedic. I could. But he didn't want that. He called me. And that's the past, and I'm so thankful that I'm called. That, what an honor to be called to a ministry. Each one of us is called to a ministry. Well, you think, oh, well, that means I have to give up what I'm doing and then, you know, go find a place in the church and do something spiritual. We've messed this up. I'm sorry. The church has messed this up. We have secular and we have spiritual. God doesn't. If you work in the marketplace, if you're an engineer, if you're a doctor, if you're a plumber, if you're whatever you are, and you're a believer, that's your ministry. Did you know that? You could be a bus driver, you could be a welder, you could be whatever. You could be a rocket scientist. That's your calling. And just what you need to do is, right now, you need to receive the anointing on that calling, because I don't think some of you have. You think, oh, well, that's the preacher up there. I mean, he's got the anointing, hallelujah. No, it's not. You got the anointing. I got the same Jesus. The same Jesus that lives in me lives in you. And it's the same Jesus that raised Christ, or same God that raised Christ from the dead, that lives in all of us. And so guess what? We're all equal. I have this calling, and I'm privileged to be the pastor of this church or the pastor of the other churches that I was in. But I'll tell you something right now. You need to be proud and excited about what God's called you to do, because it's important in this world. And you connect with people I'll never connect with because I'm not there. You are. And that first part was about calling, and this is about inheritance. You ever think about inheritance? Do you kind of really get excited, like if you think that you might, you know, a friend of mine who I'd known for a long time received $1 million in inheritance. That would be okay. Don't you think? Come on, don't you think? You bet. You know, I already shared this about when my mom passed away, she left $8. There was no fighting about it. Well, my sister and brother wanted a third of it. But it was like, that was the inheritance. The inheritance I got from my mom was good work ethic. She supported me. She encouraged me. All that kind of stuff. She was amazing in that area. That's what I inherited from her. Learning to love people. All that kind of stuff. That's what I inherited. I've seen lots of wars over the will. Lots of wars. Divided families for the rest of their time on earth. And really, for money? Come on. It's not really worth it. Because money don't make you happy. That's not good English, but I think you got the message. It's not. It doesn't make you happy. Oh, you can buy more things. And I like to buy things, let me tell you. We have an inheritance that is far richer than anything you could ever imagine. We have an inheritance that's far more valued in wealth than you could ever imagine. We have eternal life. Joy Foster is walking in that right now. But you are as well. Did you hear that? You're walking in eternal life now. It's not when we get there. It's when we accept him. We walk in that. And so there's an inheritance for us. And it talks in Isaiah lots about that. For those who have been shamed, there's a double inheritance. That's awesome. And there's no fighting about that inheritance because everybody gets one. That's the kind of father we have. That's the future. Verse 19, he says, "And what is the incomparable greatness of his power towards us who believe, as displayed in the exercise of his immense strength?" Extraordinarily greatness of his power, which is the present. Power towards us. Let me read that again. "And what is the incomparable greatness of his power toward us who believe, as displayed in the exercise of his immense strength?" Jesus came down, and he didn't rip telephone books in half, and he didn't bend big cables and bars and stuff like that. He could do that. I mean, he split. He did everything. He raised the dead, and he healed the sick, and he did everything. And he made a whole troop when they came to arrest him. Remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He just went, "What do you want?" And they all fell down. The whole troop. This is the elite troopers. This is the tactical team of the Roman Empire. This is the SWAT team. They came to get Jesus because he was so dangerous, right? I mean, he had a bad reputation of healing people and bringing people to life and stuff like that. What a horrible creature to have on the face of the earth. But they were afraid of his power. So they came and they said to Judas, "Tell us which one he is." They knew, every one of them knew who he was. And Judas came up and kissed him and said, "Hey, this is the guy." And he just spoke and they all fell down. Now, that's power, don't you think? What did he do? He submitted. He submitted on our behalf. He submitted on our behalf the power he took to the cross to destroy the work of the enemy. The enemy has no more power over you. If you are dead to sin and alive to Christ, the enemy does not have power over you unless you give it to him. Next month, we're going to go into a whole series on spiritual warfare. And there's the devil's running rampant in this world today. He's running rampant. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to kill you. He wants to kill everyone so that they don't go to the kingdom, into the kingdom of God, but they go to hell. He uses people and then he destroys them after he's used them. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and that life full, abundant. That's the power towards us who believe. That's exciting, don't you think? How many of you have that inside of you? Okay, how many are living it every day? Try to, good. Try harder. I'm encouraging you to try harder. And actually, you don't have to try harder. You just have to submit more. Let him do it. Let him send you to places. Let him, when he speaks to you, just say, okay, I'll do it. He'll scare that stuffing out of you. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to give that away. I want to go there. Have you ever said that? Or, that can't be God. That's my favorite. No, it can't be you, God. That's so contrary to the way I think. And he says, yes, it is me. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. What's going on here? Because I'm not listening, because I don't want to. It's actually going to cost me something. And I sometimes I'm a bit selfish. Anybody know what that's like? I got my plans. I got my life. And I'm doing good. Look at I'm doing good. I preach every Sunday morning, and I have a really good time ministering to people. And so why should I have to do more? Right? I mean, my job description says 37 and a half hours a month, isn't it? No, a week. I remember when I first came here, they said, here's your job description, 37 and a half hours a week. That's a government type thing. And I thought, I can do that in 3 days, so I'll have 4 days off every week. 37 and a half hours, it's impossible to do as a pastor. Impossible. Some days are 14, 16-hour days, and some days are 4-hour days. But you are serving all the time. And so there isn't this 37 and a half hours. And so you need to walk in this power all the time. Walk in your calling all the time. And it's so rewarding. I love it. I love it. And I'm learning still to give him more. So it says the power required. Let's just go to the next slide here. The incomparable greatness of his power. This is the power required to live a life pleasing to God. It's the same, maybe back one slide, I think. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I thought that was interesting. That was in a commentary. The power required to live this life to please God is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. If that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll give life to your mortal body. Romans chapter 8. If that same body, that's exactly what it's saying here. You cannot live a life pleasing to God without exercising that power in your life. So it's like, you know, I'm going down the freeway and it's 110 and like the Coca-Cola, especially because I like that one with my new truck. But there might be a truck doing 108. Takes a long time to pass them at 110. So I can increase my speed. And in sport mode, doesn't take very long to increase my speed and be going by him way faster than 108. And then I pull in and I do the speed limit again. But I was overtaking him, as I was saying. Because the power's there. Sometimes we need to overtake the enemy. We need to go by him, destroy what he's doing. We need to walk in that power. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit because it's incomparable. Satan can do things. Don't be fooled by that. He is there to inflict death. He's to inflict pain, emotional pain, everything. Separate people. It's just there. He just wants to destroy. But we don't have to be destroyed. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So, in Psalms it says this. I think you'd click it one more time and it'll give you Psalm 8. Psalm 8, it says this. Of what importance is the human race that you should notice them? of what importance is mankind that you should pay any attention to them? You made them a little less than the heavenly beings. You crown mankind with honor and majesty. Listen to this. You appoint them to rule over your creation, and you have placed everything under their authority. Have you read that before? Do you know that? Wow. You go like, okay, what does that mean? It means that's what God created us for. And when we become Christians, when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we have that same power that raised Christ from the dead inside of us. We have the authority in this world to do those things. Yeah, I heard one right. Do you agree? Like, it's true. That's in the psalm. David wrote that, and that's in the psalm saying, you crown mankind with honor and majesty. In the image of God we're created. And then he says, you appoint them to rule over your creation. We need to rule over our creation. So, you know, separate your garbage and stuff like that. But there's more than that. You can call things that are not into being because God has given you that power. Now, don't go off on a tangent and start doing silly things. But when God tells you to do something, you can do it. Did you hear me? When God tells you to do something, you can do it because you have his authority. You are people of authority. Do you know anybody in authority? If you do, you know that they have certain parameters where they can work. And you can't because they have authority. Police, for example. But you have the power of God inside of you. You are crowned. You crown mankind with honor and majesty. You appointed them to rule over your creation. You have placed everything under their authority. You know what Christ, seated at the right hand of God after the crucifixion? The right hand of God is the place of authority. And he is in you. What do you say about the kingdom? What about the keys? I've given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Hey, this is where we live. This is it. We have all authority. In his name, we can do all things. Really, I mean, this is not something I just dreamed up while I was sitting down by my campfire. This is the truth of God, and we need to start walking in this. We need to start living in this. Because that's why we had communion. Jesus died to say, you guys can do it. I give it to you. I trust you. Isn't that great? He trusts us with this. I love it. I'm still not there. I wish I was there, and I'm trying really hard to become there. Verse 20, it says, the power he exercised in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, this power he exercised by Christ by raising him and seating him. That's amazing. Dead. Jesus is dead. And like that, boom, he's raised again. He is risen. We're going to say that on Easter. He's risen. He's not just risen on Easter, people. He's risen today. He's risen forever. He's not going to be unrisen. He is risen. And because he lives, we will live. Because he overcame death, we'll overcome death. We'll have physical death, but that is just part of this world because of the fallen state in sin. That's it. But the devil doesn't win. The devil doesn't win. He doesn't win with your life, and he doesn't win with your death. Can you imagine when we do step through that door? We're going to step right in to the Word. And he's going to wrap his arms around us, and he's going to say, well done. Well done. And it's not because you did a whole bunch of things for him. It's because you loved him and connected with him while you're here. And this is far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Forever. Now and forever. Now and forever. Now and forever. Not just forever, but now and forever. Every rule, every authority, every power, every dominion, every name that is named, everything that we know, not only in this age, but the one to come. Verse 22 says, and God put or subjected all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as head over all things. And gave him as head over all things to the church. That's our boss. I remember being in a Bible study and one of the pastors, it wasn't my church, he says, so who's Jesus, who's God to you? And I says, he's my boss. Well, he's more than my boss. He's my father. But you know what? He's my boss. He just shows me what to do and I do it. I get to work with him, not for him. I get to work with him. And so he gave him as head over all things to the church. So all those things that we named just a minute ago, all those things are us in the church. We have that power and authority. The church, verse 23, now the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Greek kind of breaks this down a little bit, and I think it is a bit more inclusive. It says the church, which is his body. Okay? We're not separated. The church, which is his body. Guess what? He's the head. We're the body. And so you need the body and the head. The head tells you what to do in your body. Can you imagine? That's pretty awesome. Jesus tells you what to do, us to do. We're all part of his body. We're all important in his body. I'm no more important in this body than anyone else because I'm the pastor. What a privilege. But you're like me. I'm his son. You're his daughter. That's what it is. And we're all part of the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ and he is the head. So the church, which is his body, it's not Richmond Pentecostal Church. It's not Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. It's not Assemblies of God. It's not Nazarene. It's not Lutheran. It's not Catholic. It's nobody. Nobody. There's nobody. We have all these buddies, but there's nobody in Christ except for one church. And when you look in Ephesians, it talks about that. One Lord, one baptism, and on it goes. We are one body. One body. Get along. Get along with each other. You don't like the Nazarenes? Get over it. Just think how long you're not going to like them when you're in heaven. Come on. Don't like the Lutherans? Don't like this? Don't like the Baptists? They don't like the Pentecostals? Sally Ann and Salvation Army, they're pretty neutral. We can like them. Come on, this is one body. There's no names. One preacher says when you go up, the name falls off, and when you go down, it burns off. There's no names. It's not marketing. It's one body. One body, and you're part of it, and that's beautiful because it's all over the world, and if you traveled and joined some churches in different countries, and they're singing the same chorus as you are, maybe in a different language, it is awesome. And it's at a different time of the day, and it's just like crazy, but God is being glorified 24/7 somewhere. Isn't that exciting? By his body. I really like this. We're going to wrap it up with this. The fullness of him who fills all in all. So really, Christ fills the church entirely with his presence and power. Who fills all in all. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord, and I am complete in him. Isn't that awesome? The fullness of, Pastor Randy, if you'd come, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord, and I am complete in him. Why? Because the Lord lives inside of you. Can you just kind of wrap that around yourself right now? Can you just take that and say, you know what? I'm filled. I'm filled with the awesome power. I'm filled with the awesome relationship. I'm filled with the awesome Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. I'm family. I'm family if I travel to Russia, if I go to Trinidad, if I go anywhere in this whole entire world, I have family there. And some of you have experienced that. Some of you come from there, but some of you have gone to different places, and you walk into a church that loves Jesus Christ, and they embrace you, and it's just like, wow, isn't that cool? And you know what? You can lay hands on somebody there and pray for them. Last time we were in Sicily, Elaine and I, just before we were leaving on the plane, they said, can you come in, Pastor Jim, can you come in? We have a man who has cancer, and it's really bad. And I don't really have the gift of the gifts of healing. That's not an area that I'm strong in. But we went in there, and we just laid hands on him. And he didn't look good. We got back to Canada about a month later, and I got an email that this guy's completely whole, healed. We can lay hands on people in different places in the world. We can lead people to Jesus Christ all over the world through a translator. We can do that. Because you see, it's one body. It's his harvest. He's bringing his harvest in. One body, and one day, in the twinkling of an eye, it says, in the twink, I don't even know what that is, but it's faster than a nanosecond. I think they got it down to nanos now, whatever that is. Sure don't feel any nanos when I'm lined up at the border to go through. There's not any nanoseconds there. Or you know when you're lined up and all this, that seems like forever? It's in a twinkling of an eye. Boom, we're gone. He's caught his church up. This is exciting stuff, but the sad thing for me is there's so much work to be done even after the church goes. So we need to do before. Are you excited about him living inside of you and giving you power and authority? That's it. Praise God. Let's stand and worship Christ. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to just come up. Maybe you just want to spend some time at the altar. But you need to walk out of here knowing that you have power and authority in Jesus Christ, and he loves you, and he's got a job for you to do because it's a calling on your life. He loves you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Here's what you do. While we're singing this song, you say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me for my sins. I need you to come in and be my Savior. I need to give my life over to you. I need to ask forgiveness for the things I've done wrong. And I want to be part of that body that Pastor Caruso was talking about. You can make that prayer right there. Then maybe you want to come up and tell one of our pastors, or you want to tell somebody beside you, hey, I just made that commitment to Christ. We got some material here. We want you to grow. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your whole entire life. And if you made it, I'm encouraging you to walk in it. Praise God. So if you want to come for prayer, please come up. Prayer team, if you'd come up. Well, let's worship God.